I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Welcome into the 7 o'clock hour of Sports Talk this July the 7th, Tuesday, as the Pelicans get ready for summer league action. Happy to open up this hour. Welcome him in. Jim Eichenhofer, writer for Pelicans.com and host of the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Jim, how's it going, man? Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve. Boy, it's been a quiet last couple of weeks. I think this is the last time I saw you on draft night. Nothing's happened since then. It's been real calm.
Yeah, this roster makeover for this Pelican squad has been quite impressive. Curious, you know, before we get into some of these young guys that they've brought in, a veteran addition of a guy like Kevon Looney, really needed presence for this team that was struggling with on the boards last season. And Charlie and I have talked about this. We laughed at some of the criticism from some national media folks for this signing. To me, it was one of the smartest moves I feel like the Pels have made, bringing in this vet that can provide not only that leadership in the locker room, but a guy that's been there, done that, the championships. And also, like I mentioned, just the rebounding capabilities, able to do that dirty work for this squad.
Yeah, I mean, I think I need to double-check this, but with the trade of C.J. McCollum and Kelly Olynyk, I think Kevon Looney is now the oldest player on the team at just 29.
Right.
And he's been in the league for 10 years. He's been on three championship teams and four or five Warriors teams that made the finals during his tenure there. So, no, I think you're right. I think it's important that they have some leadership that he can provide. He definitely doesn't seem, from what I've heard about him, like a real talkative guy, but more of a leader by example and somebody that when he does speak, everybody pays attention to it. And I think also, too, more tangibly, you mentioned the rebounding. They were 29th in rebounding, 29th in defense, the Pelicans last season. So, I mean, he's been one of the best per-minute rebounders in the league throughout his career. So I think the rebounding and the defense kind of goes hand in hand. I mean, they did a poor job of getting stops at the defensive end last season. It was compounded by how many offensive rebounds they gave up as well. So I definitely think that he can help. I mean, I remember, I'm sure Pelicans fans remember several times where, especially when the Pelicans played out in San Francisco or Oakland before that, that he would kill the Pelicans with offensive rebounds. So I'm happy to have him be on the Pelicans as opposed to somebody that you have to try to box out and keep him off the glass.
Jim, before we get into the summer league and the entire offseason process, which is really funny because it's just one thing after the next, after the next, after the next for basically a month, I just want to get your thoughts on the moratorium period being over. We can finally talk about the Washington trade and bringing in Sadiq Bey and Jordan Poole and Micah Peavy, the 40th overall pick from this past year's draft. First and foremost, I think the premium asset here, Jordan Poole, he is very, very divisive as a player because people that like him think that he can be, you know, the third best player on a championship team like he was back in 2022. And then the detractors say that, you know, you watch what he did in Washington. He had solid numbers with the Wizards, but it was just kind of the empty calorie numbers where it didn't contribute to winning in a meaningful way with the Wizards organization. So what do you think about Jordan Poole first and foremost? And then we'll get into Sadiq Bey and then Micah Peavy as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think even his 2 years in Washington were kind of divisive in terms of his first year. I think he really struggled. I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I would think that he would even say that he had a rough debut season with the Wizards, but he was much better last year. I think a lot of people didn't notice it because the Wizards, I mean, people stop paying attention to teams that are out of the race very early in the season. And I mean, they pretty much telegraphed going into the year that they weren't going to be a playoff team or even a contender probably for the play-in. But I thought he was much better last season. I think people that watched the Wizards a year ago said that his efficiency went way up. He shot 38% from three-point range, for example. But, I mean, for me, I've kind of looked at him as kind of one of those guys where he's been kind of a situational guy where he's – I'm not sure. It seems like he's kind of on the edge of, is he an instant offense six man or is he a starter? I think he might get the opportunity to prove that he's the latter with the Pelicans, and obviously he started with the Wizards the last couple of years. But as you mentioned, they didn't win a lot of games. I don't know how many players you could have slotted in for him in that position and had the Wizards win that much more than they did. I mean, they just had a lot of holes, and they were also going with a lot of young players. But I'm the thing I'm the most curious about him just to watch, I mean, obviously he played with good players in Golden State, but just to see the way that he plays off of Zion Williamson, Trey Murphy, some of the talent that's here, it's not going to be the way it was in Washington where other teams went into the game with a game plan of let's try to shut him down or make him be inefficient, have like a 5-for-18 game, and will win this easily. I think he's not going to have as much defensive attention on him as he did the previous 2 years with Washington.
And then Sadiq Bey, the other veteran piece of that move with the Washington Wizards, that trade. You know, he's a really interesting player because he had a great start to his career in Detroit. By the way, the connection with Troy Weaver with the Pistons is there, obviously. And then also, you know, he moves on with the Wizards, so he's got the connection there with Weaver from 2024. But really, really strong start to his career in Detroit. Suffers the ACL tear in Atlanta, and then he misses basically all of last year. If he can come back and be basically 90% of the player that he was early on in his career with Detroit, I think that you have something here with Sadiq Bey as at least a bench wing.
Yeah, I think he's a solid reserve. I think he's proved over his career that he's a guy that definitely at the very least can play 15, 20 minutes a game. His last season that he was on the court with Atlanta, he was, I think, basically like their eighth man or so on a team that made the playoffs and lost in the first round. But yeah, I think he was a guy who was picked pretty high in the first round. I can't remember if he was lottery or close to it, but I thought he has potential to be a productive reserve. I mean, I think he's hopefully part of the solution to the bench had a massive drop off last season, but a lot of that, of course, was because of injuries. So I see him as somebody that they definitely can rely on to be, you know, consistently productive night in and night out.
Jim, now looking at the Summer League, first off, the coach is going to be Corey Brewer. And I mean, I know him as a player and realize he's been with the Pelicans now since 2020 as an assistant coach. But what are your impressions of him now taking on these reins as the Summer League coach?
Yeah, I think people that remember him as a player, if it's possible to be that way as a coach, I think that's what he is in terms of just a really energetic guy that, I mean, as a player, he was one of the fastest players in the league, and you could count on him to be somebody that would, you know, score a bunch of points on fast breaks, run around the court on defense, get in people's faces. He was assigned difficult assignments at that end of the floor a lot. He just seems like he's one of these guys that just comes in all the time and has a lot of energy. I think as an assistant coach, he's definitely one of the players or one of the coaches that the players say is always kind of joking with them and maybe even talking a little trash when they have shooting games. So I find him to be very enjoyable to be around. He's a pretty funny guy. And I'm sure he's looking forward to this opportunity that you don't get too often to be a head coach during Summer League.
Talked about quickness and speed. That's the first thing that came out of his mouth when he was talking about Jeremiah Fears and the first observations of the rookie point guard at practices ahead of the Summer League. With the Summer League in Las Vegas, we've talked with different reporters about this. It always feels like guards are put on full display, and you get to see early and often the talented and really elite guards, you know, kind of put a name for themselves at the Summer League. Mm-hmm. Looking ahead to this week and the next couple of weeks with Jeremiah Fears, your expectations for the young point guard out of Oklahoma who the Pels took 7th overall?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking forward to watching him play. I've gotten to see him play in practices, and it doesn't surprise me because from the video I watched of him at Oklahoma, his ball handling is really good. He seems like he can get anywhere on the floor. So, I mean, he's really quick. That's a big part of it too, but he's just got such a tight handle that it seems like the ball is kind of part of him. So I'm curious to see him play Thursday against Minnesota and for people to get an opportunity to watch him play against other NBA players. I mean, I think he's really talented. I don't know exactly. I'm not a basketball scout per se, but I don't know exactly how soon he's going to be ready. But I do think that there's going to be a time when people say that this was a really good pick because this guy has a ton of talent. He can score. He can shoot. I think he's improving in that part of the game. I'm really excited about him. I think I can't remember if I had mentioned this on draft night to you guys, but he was who I wanted at the 7th pick. So I mean, I'm pretty much all in on Jeremiah Fears as I have been even from maybe a few days before the first round of the draft.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday. Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Another guy everybody is definitely itching to see, get a glimpse of, is the move that's kind of shook the NBA world with the Pelicans trading next year's first round pick to move up in order to secure Derek Queen. Wondering what you've seen from him so far in these practices leading up to Summer League play and what you think we're going to see on display in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I spoke to his coach at Maryland, Kevin Willard, And he talked a lot about how you can't really speed him up. He kind of plays at his own pace. And I think it's kind of like two sides of the coin with him. People often say, you know, he's not very athletic. He doesn't seem like he has really quick feet. But I noticed from watching him a little bit here and there the last couple of days that he's always under control, and he can always kind of make a decision at the last second because he's not going so fast that he's already committed to making a decision. So I think the players definitely already respect his basketball IQ and his passing. I've also noticed, too, off the dribble, this is something that people talked a little bit about in his college season of why he was such a good scorer. He could put the ball on the floor, too. So, I mean, he definitely has a pretty wide array of skills and talent. So, again, just like with Fears, I'm really curious to see him play against other NBA players and you know, kind of going up against the level of athleticism, even in summer league, that you have to face. But, I mean, from what I've seen so far, I definitely am optimistic about him. And by the way, Steve, it's funny you said, you know, the trade that shook the NBA world. And it's funny because I do think that it's unbelievable the amount of opinions that people have had on the trade. And I don't think it should have been that much of a, I don't know, groundbreaking, volcanic type move. But it really seems like it has been based on the way that people have reacted to it.
Oh, yeah.
You can blame the Ringer for that one. Jim, you know, Emes. And all the buzz from early on this week has been his kind of development physically and the amount of weight that he put on. And he talked about it when speaking to the media that was one of his main goals, was putting on the weight to be able to body up with opposing centers this upcoming season for an 82-game schedule. Eve Misi is someone that I'm going to be keeping an eye on. I don't think that we expected him to really be on the summer league roster, but here he is, and he's going to be in Vegas. So kind of two-part question here. First and foremost, your expectations for Eve ahead of his second campaign, because it feels like he's primed to make a leap. And then also the second part, how much run do you think he's going to get in Vegas?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the latter question yet. I'm not sure if he's going to be somebody that plays the entire league, or we see sometimes with guys who are veterans or at least had one really good rookie year like he did, that they play the first couple games and then they sit out the rest of the time. But in terms of what I want to see from him, I think just carrying over some of the increased muscle and weight that he has. I think sometimes some of his foul trouble that he got in, especially at the beginning of his rookie season, was, you know, he can kind of get pushed around a little bit. I mean, he's only 19, 20 years old. So just kind of applying some of his strengths. And I want to see him, you know, expand what he does offensively a little bit beyond. I mean, it's fine that he was really just – he was an opportunistic offensive player. He's a lob threat that scored on alley-oops and putbacks and stuff like that. But I think he can – we saw him try to bring out the little hook shot and the drop step and the reverse layup during the regular season last year. So – maybe he can do that a little bit more in summer league in the games that he plays.
Pelicans have that first game on Thursday in the Las Vegas Summer League. Curious, Jim, have you seen the ticket prices, though, for the Cooper Flagg versus Bronny James Summer League matchup? The prices are insane.
I heard somebody talking about that today, about how the courtside tickets are, is it a couple thousand or something like that?
2,500 courtside, 650 for lower bowl.
Yeah,
that's
unbelievable. Yeah, that's unbelievable for a summer league game. Yeah, I mean, the Lakers games there, I've been, I don't know how many years I've been there at this point, almost every year since I started working here in 2005. The Lakers games are usually pretty crazy in terms of there's so many Lakers fans because of the proximity to Las Vegas, but I can't imagine what it's going to be like for that game with Cooper Flagg making his debut at the same time that the Lakers are playing and Bronny's playing. The Pelicans play at 2:30 Central, and I think that game is at 7:30 Central. So I have a big debate on my hands of whether I should stick. It's in the same arena, too. So whether I should stick around all day to catch that in person or whether I should head back to the hotel. I guess I'll have to decide that on Thursday.
You know, before we let you run, Jim, DraftKings released the preseason over-under win totals for the NBA, which feels like it's maybe a little bit early for that, but that's besides the point. They have the Pelicans with 31.5, and I remember speaking with Joel Myers a couple of weeks back that he kind of echoed a lot of sentiments that we share, is that, you know, this Pelicans team with the talent that they boast on this roster are kind of closer to the 49-win team that they were 2 years ago than they were the 21-win team this past year. Just your general perspective on the Pelicans, 31.5 wins total. It's the sixth lowest, only ahead of the Suns, Hornets, Nets, Wizards, and Jazz, and it just feels a little bit low.
Yeah, that does feel low. I mean, it's interesting. You said the Suns and the Jazz are lower. I have seen a lot of 14th place for the Pelicans in the West, meaning the Utah is the only team picked below them. But in terms of the win projection, I mean, I would agree with Joel on that. That I think the 21 wins that they got last season is such a complicated number. You can't just say, oh, they won 21 games, so they're terrible. There was, obviously, we know the injuries was a huge factor. And then at the end of the season, I mean, I think they went 4-17 in their last 21 games at the point where they had no chance to make the play-in or extend their season. So I just think that I think a lot of that 31.5 is based on the 21 number, which I get it. I mean, you have to have a baseline that you start from somewhere. But I think even the 21 is just so skewed that they could have, should have, would have won a lot more games than that if the injuries hadn't been so widespread. So, yeah, I think 31.5 is low. But I think I'm really curious to see where people project them to be in the West, because if I keep seeing 14th in the West, I'm going to post all of those like in the locker room everywhere, because I feel like that should be good motivation for a team that's had a good amount of success in recent years. But obviously last year was a huge crash towards the bottom of the standings because of injuries.
Jim, thanks so much for your time today, man. When are you heading out to Las Vegas?
I'm actually leaving tomorrow night.
Enjoy the time out there and the hoops.
I will. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be there for the first couple Pelicans games, and it should be a good time. I'm really eager to watch the three rookies and the two lottery picks play.
We'll definitely be following you on social media. Thanks again for the time, Jim.
Thanks, Steve.
Jim Eichenheifer, writer for thepelicans.com, also host of the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. You can follow him on X at Jim_Eichenhofer. That's EICHENHOFER, Eichenhofer.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.